Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is late February 2026, which is
hard to believe, honestly.
Right. It feels like we were just talking about the new year and suddenly we're staring down the barrel of March.
It really is flying by. But, you know, late February is a really specific, really interesting time of year.
Yeah.
Especially if you have your ear to the ground in the financial world. Or, I guess, more specifically, the housing market.
Yeah, it's that weird limbo period. It's not quite winter anymore, at least not in the South, but it's not fully spring either. And in the real estate world, this is traditionally the calm before the storm.
Exactly.
The spring market is basically the Super Bowl of real estate. Yeah. It's when the inventory dumps, the buyers wake up from hibernation, and the whole machine just starts spinning.
Traditionally, yes. That's exactly what the textbooks say. You know, you prep in February, you list in March, you close by June. But I think if we have learned anything over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, it's that traditional has completely left the building.
Oh, traditional packed its bags and moved to a different planet about 3 years ago.
Yeah, it really did. We have been living through what I would call the most volatile, confusing, and psychologically draining housing market in modern history.
Mm.
We saw the dizzying highs of the post-pandemic boom. We saw the crushing weight of the rate hikes. And now... well, now we're in 2026.
And that is exactly why today's deep dive is going to be a little different. We aren't just looking at national headlines. We're not looking at generalized blog posts.
Right.
We are dissecting a very specific, very dense stack of documents from a boots-on-the-ground source in North Texas.
Yes, we're looking at market reports, agent profiles, and strategic briefs from a firm called Pete Realty. And we are focusing on a very specific slice of the map today, Montague County, Texas.
Now, you might be asking yourself, why Montague County? And why Pete Realty? And the answer is that sometimes to understand the macro, you know, the big picture of the U.S. economy, you really have to zoom in on the micro. You have to look at what is actually happening in the rural counties right on the edge of the major metros. That is where the friction is. That is where the real story is.
I couldn't agree more. The city centers tell one story, and it's usually a story of density and corporate money.
Yeah.
But the outer rings... the places like Montague, that is where you see the shift in the modern American dream.
Right.
That is where you see the tension between the old way of life and the new economic reality.
So we have a lot to get through today. We have these trend reports, trends one and trends two. We have a genuinely fascinating bio for our main source here, David Pete. And we have a mission statement that frankly reads a bit like a survival guide for sellers in 2026.
It does. It's much less of a sales pitch and much more of a strategic briefing.
So let's start with the mood, the overall vibe. If you walk into a coffee shop in North Texas right now and ask a local realtor how the market is, what do they say?
Well, looking at the source material we have here, there's a very specific phrase that keeps popping up. And it's a phrase that economists absolutely love, but sellers absolutely hate.
Yeah.
I think I know what you can say.
Market softness.
Softness. You know, language is funny because soft sounds nice. A pillow is soft. A puppy is soft. But a soft market sounds, I don't know, it sounds sticky. It sounds like quicksand. Quicksand is a much better analogy because when an economist says soft, they don't mean gentle. They mean hesitant. They mean low volume. It implies a total lack of conviction from everybody involved.
Right. It means people are sitting on their hands.
Exactly. For the last couple of years, we have been in this massive standoff. Sellers are staring at buyers, buyers are staring at sellers, and nobody is blinking.
And why is that? What is the root cause of this softness? Because usually when the economy is decent, and you know jobs are still relatively okay in early 2026, people buy houses. So what broke the machine?
It's the hangover from the rate spikes. We have to talk about the lock-in effect. I know we have mentioned it before on previous deep dives, but we really need to unpack what this has done to the psyche of the American homeowner.
Let's do it. Because I feel like lock-in effect is one of those buzzwords people use at cocktail parties to sound smart, but they don't actually know the raw mechanics of it.
The mechanics are brutal. Think about it this way. Let's go back in time to 2020 or 2021. You bought a house. Or maybe you just refinanced. You locked in a 30-year mortgage at 2.9%, maybe 3.1%.
Which is essentially free money.
Basically free money. Your monthly payment on a $400,000 house is incredibly manageable. It's comfortable. You feel like a financial genius.
I am the Warren Buffett of suburban living.
Exactly right. But then inflation hits. The Fed goes on a warpath. Rates skyrocket to 7%, nearly 8% at the absolute peak. Now, fast forward to today, or at least the last few months leading up to today, you want to move
Maybe I had another kid.
Right. You had another kid or you hate your commute.
Mm-hmm.
You want to sell that $400,000 house and buy a $500,000 house.
Okay, so a standard move-up buyer.
Yay. Very standard. But when you run the numbers, you realize that to buy that slightly bigger new house, you have to trade your 3% mortgage for a 7.5% mortgage.
And the math just explodes.
It doesn't just explode, it becomes catastrophic. Your payment doesn't go up by $200, it goes up by $1,500 for basically the same amount of house.
Yeah.
So what do?
I stay put, I build a bunk bed for the kids, I suffer through the terrible commute, I'm locked in.
You are a prisoner of your own low rate. These are the golden handcuffs.
Yeah.
And because millions of people across the country are in that exact same boat, inventory just vanished. Nobody listed their homes because they simply couldn't afford to leave them.
Mm.
And that is what created the softness, the total lack of transactions.
So that has been the status quo, the big freeze. But
okay.
And here's where the Pete Realty report gets really interesting. They are arguing that the ice is cracking.
Yes, they are spotting a thaw in the market.
And they pin it on a very specific number, a threshold.
The report specifically highlights that rates are now dipping under 6%.
Now, let's play devil's advocate here for a second. 6% is still double 3%. Why does dropping below 6 matter so much? Is it just a psychological trick?
It is entirely psychological, but you have to remember that economics is essentially applied psychology. There is something about seeing the number 5 in front of a mortgage rate, even if it's 5.99%. That feels fundamentally different to a buyer than a 7.
It's the anchor effect, isn't it? We spent 2 solid years anchoring on the horror stories of 8% rates. So now 5.9 feels like a massive Black Friday sale.
Precisely. It feels like a discount. And more importantly, it changes the monthly payment math just enough to make it digestible again. It's no longer catastrophic. It's just expensive. And people can handle expensive if they feel like they're getting a lifestyle value out of it.
So the core premise of our deep dive today is this. We are at a pivot point. The lock-in is loosening. The softness is about to harden into actual real-world activity. And if you are in North Texas, specifically looking at Montague County, you need to be ready for this wave.
You absolutely need a strategy. You cannot just operate on the wait-and-see mindset anymore because the waiting period is over.
Okay, so we have the macro context down. The world is waking up. Now, I want to shift gears slightly and talk about the who, because real estate is ultimately a people business. And we have the profile data here for the man behind the reports, David Pete of Pete Realty.
We do.
Now, look, I have read 1,000 real estate agent bios over the years. They usually follow a very rigid template. I am passionate. I am a top producer. I love finding dream homes. It's fine. It's just very generic.
It's a wallpaper.
Exactly. It's wallpaper. But David Pete's bio, there were details in here that I frankly didn't even understand at first glance. I actually had to look them up. And I think in this industry, that's a really good sign.
Which part tripped you up?
Okay, so it says he has 10 plus years of experience. Good. Trusted partner. Good. But then it gets really personal. It says, my wife and I care for our retired Tennessee walkers, and we raise British white cattle.
Yes, that is a sentence that is doing a massive amount of heavy lifting.
British white cattle. I looked them up. They are these distinct white cows with black ears and black noses. Very striking animals. But why put that in a professional business bio? Is he trying to sell me beef or a house?
This is exactly where we have to understand the specific market of Montague County. Because this isn't downtown Dallas. This isn't a high-rise condo board. This is true farm and ranch country.
Okay.
By explicitly mentioning British white cattle, David isn't just sharing a weekend hobby. He is signaling a very specific set of technical competencies to the reader.
How so? How does owning a cow make you a better real estate agent? I need you to connect those dots for me.
Think about what it actually takes to raise cattle in Texas. It's not just pouring feed in a trough. It's about land management. It's about stocking rates, like how many head of cattle can specific acreage actually support before the land degrades. It's about water rights. Do you have a stock tank on the properties that spring-fed or reliant on rain? And most importantly of all, it's about taxes.
The agricultural exemption?
The holy grail of Texas land ownership. If you buy 50 acres in Montague County and you don't have an ag exemption, your property taxes are going to be absolutely astronomical. We are talking about the difference between paying maybe $500 a year and $15,000 a year.
Whoa, that's an entire mortgage payment just in the tax difference.
Exactly. And to keep that exemption, you have to prove legitimate agricultural use. You need a verifiable history of ranching. You need fences that meet county code. You need to know the rules inside and out. A city agent who drives a luxury sedan and sells lofts in uptown Dallas. He doesn't know what a 5-strand barbed wire fence looks like. He doesn't know if the pasture grass is coastal Bermuda or if it's just toxic weeds.
He just sees a green field. But David Peet sees an asset class with specific tax implications.
Correct. So listing the cattle is a credential. It tells the prospective buyer, I live this life, I speak the language, I can protect you from buying a 50-acre money pit.
That is fascinating. It's lifestyle signaling, but it's actually risk mitigation signaling under the surface.
And the horses do the exact same thing. The Tennessee Walkers.
Right, the Tennessee Walkers. Retired ones at that, which sounds very sweet. But again, what is the underlying signal there?
So Tennessee Walkers are gated horses. They are famous for being incredibly smooth to ride, which makes them ideal for long trail riding. And look at this specific geography mentioned in the bio. He references the North Texas LBJ Grasslands Trail System.
I did see that. LBJ Grasslands. I just assumed it was a local park.
Oh, it's much more than a park. It is a massive expanse of public land protected by the government, specifically managed for recreation, hunting, fishing, and horseback riding. It is essentially the ultimate playground for the equestrian community in North Texas.
So if I am a horse person looking to move...
If you are a horse person, you desperately want to be near the grasslands. You want to know which specific properties have direct trail access, so you don't have to hook up a trailer every single time you want to go for a ride. By mentioning that he rides that specific trail system, David is spatially locating himself. He is saying, I know the trails. I know the terrain. I know exactly which properties back up to the park boundaries.
It's the difference between hiring a generic tour guide and hiring a local who actually lives there.
Exactly. Wow. And for a buyer moving from the dense city out to the country to spread out, which is the exact phrase the source material uses, by the way, that level of guidance is invaluable because rural real estate is genuinely terrifying if you don't know what you're doing.
It really is. You have septic tanks to worry about. You have well water depth. You have mineral rights. It's not just a matter of asking if the kitchen countertops are updated.
Not at all. You can buy a visually beautiful house on 10 acres, but if the water well runs dry in August, your house is essentially worthless.
Right.
You need an agent who knows to ask about the well depth and the gallons per minute yield. That is the trusted partner aspect they're highlighting.
Which brings us nicely to the location itself. The bio lists the main office in Decatur, Texas, and also mentions Aubrey, Texas.
Right.
For any of you listening who aren't currently staring at a geographic map of Texas, paint the picture for us. Where exactly are we?
So visualize the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. It is this massive, sprawling concrete beast. If you go northwest, heading up towards the Oklahoma border, you start hitting the outer rings. Aubrey and Decatur are what I would call the gateways.
Gateways. I like that framing.
They sit right on the transitional edge. To the south and east, you have the density, the heavy traffic, the endless suburbs. But to the north and west, you have Montague County. Open land, rolling hills, big sky. Aubrey and Decatur are right where that transition physically happens.
So Peet Realty is positioned right at the bottleneck of this migration.
Exactly. They are catching the people leaving the city right before they disperse out into the open country. And that strategic positioning is crucial because they understand the commute. They understand the lifestyle trade-offs. They know that a buyer in Decatur might still have to commute into Fort Worth 3 days a week for work, but they want to come home to their cows and horses.
It's the best of both worlds pitch.
It is. And that leads us perfectly into the make easy philosophy that is heavily featured in the source material. Real estate made real easy.
That's a catchy slogan. Almost a little too catchy, honestly. Whenever someone tells me that something inherently complex is easy, I immediately get suspicious.
A healthy skepticism to have.
Yeah.
But in this specific context, I think the word easy is actually their core value proposition. Because as we just discussed, rural transactions are incredibly hard.
They are messy and complicated.
The slogan is an acknowledgement of that mess. It says, we know this is complicated. We know there are 100 different things that can go wrong with a land deal. Our job is to handle that complexity completely behind the scenes so you don't have to stress about it.
It's the duck paddling underwater metaphor. The client sees the smooth gliding on the surface, but the agent is paddling furiously underneath.
Exactly. And the source material explicitly mentions transaction management. Now, that is the boring, highly unsexy paperwork part of the real estate job. But in a rural deal where you might be dealing with property line survey disputes, complex easement access, or county road maintenance agreements, that paperwork is literally where the deal lives or dies.
So making it easy isn't about the market being easy, it's about the service being fully comprehensive.
Right. It's about absorbing the stress for the client.
Okay, let's pivot back to the hard data for a minute. We have established who David Pete is. We have established where we are geographically. Now let's talk about what is actually happening in the numbers. We have two distinct reports here. Trends 1, which covers the broader Dallas Metroplex, and Trends 2, which breaks things down county by county.
The macro and the micro views.
How do these two reports connect to each other? Because sometimes looking at the data, it feels like Dallas and Montague County are operating on different planets.
You're different planets, but they share the exact same gravitational pull. Think of the Dallas Metroplex report, Trends 1, as the economic engine. Dallas is the job engine for the whole region. It's where the massive corporate headquarters are moving. It's where the explosive population growth is originating.
The economic furnace, basically.
Yes. And when that furnace gets too hot, when median home prices in Dallas get completely out of reach, when the highway traffic gets unbearable, it creates outward pressure. That pressure pushes people further and further out.
The spillover effect.
The spillover.
Yeah.
And that exact movement flows directly into Trends 2, the county level data. Montague County is the direct beneficiary of Dallas's excess heat.
So you really can't analyze Montague in a vacuum. You have to look at what Dallas is doing first.
Correct. If the Dallas economy was shrinking, Montague real estate would be totally stagnant.
Hmm.
But because Dallas is booming and overflowing, Montague is suddenly becoming prime, highly sought after real estate. It acts as the release valve for the Metroplex.
And earlier we talked about overall inventory being historically low. Is that true out in Montague too? Because you would assume there is just plenty of open land out there.
You would think that. Looking at a satellite map, you'd say, oh, there is so much open space, there must be endless inventory. But that is a complete fallacy.
Why is that?
Because raw land is not the same thing as housing inventory. Just because there is a beautiful empty field doesn't mean it's for sale. And even if that field is for sale, it doesn't mean it's actually livable. Does it have utility hookups? Does it have legal road access?
Does it actually have a house built on it?
Right. Turnkey properties, meaning houses sitting on acreage that are fully ready to move into, are incredibly scarce in Montague County. And because of the lock-in effect we discussed earlier, the people who already own those turnkey properties haven't been selling them.
So we have extremely high demand spilling over from Dallas, colliding with very low supply in the county itself.
Which creates a tightly coiled spring just waiting for a catalyst.
Speaking of the data, I want to touch on a very specific, almost quirky detail I found in the briefing notes regarding the data sources. There was a strict note about a specific acronym, NTREIS.
Ah, yes. The insider code.
The note was incredibly specific about the pronunciation. It said pronounced net tress, like the word net, followed by the word tress.
Net tress, yes.
Why is this pronunciation guide in a strategic briefing? Why does it matter how I verbally say an acronym?
This is a textbook example of tribal knowledge in an industry. NTREIS stands for the North Texas Real Estate Information Systems. It is the MLS, the multiple listing service, for this entire region of Texas. It is the definitive master database where the actual unvarnished data lives.
It's the source code for the market.
It is. Websites like Zillow, Redfin, Realtor.com, they are just aggregators. They scrape and pull their data from NTREIS. But often, they get it wrong. They miss status updates. They misclassify rural properties constantly.
So if you want the absolute truth, you go straight to NTREIS.
Yes, you do.
Boo.
But the pronunciation aspect of it, that is purely about authority and credibility. If you are a buyer or a seller, and you are interviewing a potential agent, or maybe you're just talking to a local ranch broker in a diner out in Decatur, and you say, I was looking at the NTREIS numbers.
You sound like a robot, or a complete tourist.
You sound like an outsider who doesn't belong. You sound like someone who just read a generic blog post. But if you casually say, hey, I was pulling the latest comps from Netrus, you immediately signal that you are an insider. You know how the local industry actually speaks.
It's a shibboleth. A secret password to gain respect.
Exactly. It establishes right out of the gate that you aren't just kicking tires, you are a serious player in this market. And in a deeply relationship-based market like rural Texas, being taken seriously by the locals is half the battle.
I love that detail. Netrus. I am definitely going to use that. Just walk into a coffee shop and say, did you catch the Netrus numbers this morning?
You sound like a seasoned pro already.
Okay, so we have the Netrus data. We have the thaw happening with rates dropping under 6%. Now let's talk strategy. Because section 4 of this brief is all about the buyer-sell equation.
The so what of the whole deep dive.
The source material has a very direct, almost urgent message for sellers in Montague right now. It says, if you are considering selling, getting your property ready now is a proactive step.
Note the urgency in that phrasing. Now. Not in April. Not when the weather is perfect. Now.
But why? If the market is just barely starting to thaw out, why not wait until it's fully hot? Why not wait until June when the wildflowers are blooming and everyone is in a massive buying frenzy?
Two very important reasons. First is competition. Right now, today, inventory is still historically low. If you list your property today, you are essentially the only game in town. You are the shiny new object that every buyer looks at. If you wait until June, you might be directly competing with 20 other ranches that all decided to list at the exact same time.
You completely lose your scarcity advantage.
Exactly. You become a commodity instead of a rarity. But the second reason is specific to rural property. It's the prep time required.
Explain the difference there.
We alluded to this earlier with the complexities of land. Getting a standard suburban house ready to sell is a relatively fast process. You paint the living room agreeable gray, you declutter the master closets, you stage the dining room table. Maybe it takes you 2 weekends of hard work.
Super easy.
Getting a working ranch or a large acreage property ready to sell, that is a full-scale logistical military operation. You have to physically walk miles of fence lines. Are there breaks in the wire? Is the neighbor's livestock getting onto your land? You have to inspect the septic system. When was it last pumped out? You have to clear heavy brush.
Brush clearing? Just saying, that sounds exhausting.
It is brutal work, but it's absolutely vital. Because if a buyer drives up your long dirt driveway and they can't even see the main house because the mesquite trees and underbrush have completely taken over, they physically cannot visualize the value of the property. You have to open up the view lines, you have to grade the driveway so their standard sedan doesn't bottom out in a rut.
This definitely isn't stuff you can just knock out in a single weekend.
No. This takes weeks, sometimes several months. You might need to hire a professional dozer crew to clear land. And let me tell you, good dozer crews in Montague County are probably booked out months in advance. So if you decide you want to sell in May, and you haven't even started prepping the land yet, you probably won't actually hit the market until August. And by August, the peak buying season is already cooling off.
So starting now isn't just a clever sales tactic to get a listing early. It's a fundamental logistical necessity for this asset class.
It's the only way to actually catch the wave. If you wait for the wave to be highly visible to everyone else, you've already missed it.
That connects perfectly to the other big strategic concept in this section, the ROI conversation, return on investment.
The golden metric of real estate.
Pete Realty specifically offers guidance on investments sellers can make to improve market value and still offer a solid return. This is always a very tricky area, isn't it? Because I feel like every single homeowner genuinely believes that every dollar they spend on their house is a dollar-for-dollar investment.
Oh, absolutely. Huh. People think, I put in a custom gold-pleated toilet. That definitely adds 10 grand in value.
Right. I painted my master bedroom bright neon purple because I love it. That makes it custom and valuable.
In cold, hard reality, most aesthetic renovations do not offer a 100% return. You usually lose money on major subjective upgrades. But in rural markets, the entire ROI calculation is fundamentally different than in the city.
How so? What's the difference in the math?
In the city, buyers obsess over aesthetic finishes. They want quartz countertops, they want wide plank hardwood floors, they want spa-like bathrooms. That is where the money goes, out in Montague. A buyer might completely look past a dated 1990s kitchen if the actual bones of the property are solid.
They're buying the land and the infrastructure, not the kitchen backsplash.
Right, so spending $50,000 on a massive high-end kitchen remodel in an old farmhouse might only get you $20,000 back at the closing table.
Mm-hmm.
But spending $10,000 drilling a deeper well or installing a new well pump, or spending $5,000 repairing structural damage to the main barn roof, that might literally save the entire deal.
It's a focus on functional ROI versus aesthetic ROI.
Exactly. The deal killers in the country are almost always functional. If the roof leaks, the buyer walks. If the well water smells strongly of sulfur, the buyer walks. If the perimeter fences are down and useless, the buyer walks. Fixing those specific utilitarian things offers a massive ROI purely because it keeps the buyer at the negotiating table.
And I imagine that is exactly where the comparative market analysis they mentioned comes into play.
Yes. You need someone like David Pete to physically walk the property with you and say, "Do not touch the kitchen. The kitchen is fine for this price point. But you absolutely have to fix that major drainage issue down in the lower pasture before we list." That kind of targeted advice saves you tens of thousands of dollars. It completely stops you from over-improving the wrong things.
It prevents you from just setting your cash on fire.
Which loops right back to the trusted partner concept. A true partner tells you no. A desperate salesman just says yes to whatever you want to do. You want an agent who has the local expertise to tell you no. Do not spend 80 grand building a luxury pool out here. You will never, ever get that money back in this specific zip code.
That is a really profound distinction. The sheer value of an expert telling you no.
Especially in a market that is actively shifting like we are seeing right now, you have to be incredibly surgical with your prep budget.
So let's zoom out a bit and try to synthesize all of these different threads we've been pulling on. We are sitting here in late February 2026. The Dallas economic engine is humming along, pushing more and more people north and west. The lock-in effect is finally starting to thaw out because interest rates are consistently hitting a psychological under 6% sweet spot. Overall inventory remains low, but it is totally poised to pop as the spring market hits.
That is the exact macro and micro landscape right now.
And Montague County specifically is the ultimate destination for that spread out crowd escaping the Metroplex.
It is the primary release valve.
So if you are listening to this right now, and you are nodding along, maybe you are literally sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic on the Dallas North Tollway right this second, staring at brake lights and dreaming of having your own British white cattle. What is the actual next step? What do you do?
The first step is always gathering hyper-local information.
Yeah.
You need to know exactly where you stand in this specific market.
And the source material is very clear on the call to action here. They say, call first.
Call first. Before you buy a single gallon of paint. Before you hire that dozer crew to clear the brush, before you even tell your nosy neighbors that you were thinking about moving, call Pete Realty.
We have their direct contact info here. The phone number is area code 214-287-0009.
And I would highly emphasize calling David specifically. Get the guy on the phone who actually knows the functional difference between a cute little hobby farm and a serious working ranch.
You can also visit their website, of course. It's PeteRealty.com. And I highly recommend checking out the market report section on there.
Which is exactly where you can find these raw PDFs we have been analyzing today.
Yeah.
The specific trend reports. Don't just take our word for any of this. Go look at the actual graphs. Look at the data lines on the chart. See the real-time thaw for yourself.
And you can always email them at david@peterealty.com if you are more of a digital communicator and don't want to call.
Sure, you can email. But honestly, if you are genuinely serious about making a move in rural real estate, you really need to pick up the phone. It is fundamentally a relationship business out there. You need to hear the voice on the other end of the line.
And maybe ask them about the cattle while you have them on the phone.
Definitely ask about the cattle. Ask how the retired Tennessee Walkers are holding up this winter.
It's a pretty great icebreaker.
It really is.
Yeah.
It establishes that you pay attention to the details.
Before we completely wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you, the listener, with a final thought to chew on. We live in the absolute peak age of big data. We are completely drowning in it every single day. You can pull up a highly specific automated home value estimate on your smartphone while you are standing in line waiting for a latte. You can literally look at high-definition satellite imagery of a 50-acre property in Montague County from space.
It's true. We have never had more instantaneous access to raw information than we do right now in 2026.
But raw information isn't the same thing as actual knowledge, is it?
No, it definitely is not. And it certainly isn't the same thing as wisdom.
I think that is really the core underlying lesson of this entire deep dive today. You can have all the Nutris data in the world right at your fingertips. You can know the daily fluctuating interest rate down to the exact decimal point. But does the computer algorithm know if the soil on that specific property actually drains well after a heavy spring rain?
Does the algorithm know that the neighbor's hunting dogs bark all night long? Does the algorithm know the actual visceral feeling of riding a horse through the LBJ Grasslands Trail system at sunset?
That right there is the fundamental difference between just selling a house and selling an entire lifestyle.
Beautifully put. You can't quantify a lifestyle in a spreadsheet.
In 2026, with artificial intelligence and predictive algorithms creeping into absolutely everywhere, the human element, you know, the guy in the muddy boots who actually knows how to raise the cows, is surprisingly becoming more valuable, not less.
Because he offers the one thing algorithms can't, context. And out in the country, context is what you are actually spending your money on.
So if you are out there looking for real, actionable context in Montague County, you know exactly where to go.
Pete Realty.
Thanks for diving deep with us today. We are going to catch you on the next one. Until then, keep your eyes heavily glued to those interest rates, and maybe, just maybe, go find yourself some open space.
Happy hunting out there.